Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Across the ASEAN, and we are at the start of the second half, and we have to start things off today by talking about the state of Malaysian markets heading into the second half, and more uncertainty than ever perhaps after the grueling lockdown to contain the worrisome spread of the COVID-19 pandemic in Malaysia was extended. In fact, we're starting to see signs of it perhaps taking a toll on the economy and markets, and perhaps even the general health of the population, both physical and mental. So what does this mean? How is this going to shape the outlook for Malaysian markets moving forward? Well, today on Money FM 89.3 here and across the ASEAN, we're joined by Mr. Anand Pathmakanthan. He's the head of regional equity research at Maybank Kim Eng in Malaysia. In fact, he is in the midst of Maybank Kim Eng's annual investor conference called Invest ASEAN. This is a two-month-long event where they actually tackle their outlooks for various markets across the region. And timelyingly enough, this week, they are actually tackling the outlook for Malaysian markets and the Malaysian economy, alongside other analysts and strategists across that bank. But he's agreed to join us today to talk about their outlook on the Malaysian economy, given the impact of these grueling lockdowns and what it means for Malaysia moving forward. Mr. Pathmakanthan, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are at least safe and in good health during these uncertain times. And we do welcome you back to the show. I do have to ask you, sir, how are you doing during these very prolonged and very stubborn lockdowns?
Yeah, thank you, JP. It's nice to be back. Yeah, the lockdowns are certainly dragging on much longer than any Malaysian expected. But thankfully, vaccination rates are picking up. We feel that the lockdowns hopefully will come to an end by the end of this month, and perhaps we will be able to transit to phase two of the recovery plan. But only time will tell. But for now, we are hopeful that we will see some progress.
All right. Some stubborn and dogged optimism may be the best antidote during these times. But I do have to also highlight that the extension of Malaysia's lockdown measures for many of us outside looking in may not have been a big surprise because of how persistent the new cases and infections of COVID-19 have been in your country. But how is this impacting the economic outlook for the economy based on what Maybank is tracking?
Yeah, it certainly had a negative impact. So, coming into this week where we have our Malaysia week as part of Invest ASEAN, we've had to downgrade our GDP growth forecast for Malaysia from 5.1% to 4.2%. And we've also lowered our KLCI N2021 target from 1830 to 1720. So this negative sort of downgrades sort of reflect the fact that these lockdowns are taking a greater and greater toll on the economy. And, it's very worrisome for us that there doesn't seem to be light at the end of the tunnel in terms of transitioning to, less restrictive phases of the recovery. So until we have that clarity, it's very difficult for the market to perform.
Mm-hmm. In fact, that lack of clarity might have also at least generated some aversion from foreign funds who have begun to shy away from places with resurgent infection rates. And we're not just talking about Malaysia, but other regions across the ASEAN or other economies, Indonesia, the Philippines, Thailand, wherever you've seen these persistent rates. But of course, we're also seeing it play out in Kuala Lumpur. How big of a worry is this? Perceived flight of foreign funds for Malaysian equities?
Step back and look at ASEAN year to date. There's been a very clear divergence in market performance between the individual countries. Not usually the case. Usually ASEAN has a very positive and close correlation in terms of how markets move. But year to date, you've seen countries like Singapore and Vietnam outperform quite dramatically compared to the laggards you pointed out, like Malaysia, the Philippines, Indonesia and Thailand. And the differentiating factor has been pandemic containment. Vietnam has been able to ride out this pandemic very well, with minimum disruptions to the economy, and they're looking at above 6% GDP growth recovery this year. Singapore, similarly, has been able to contain the worst effects of the pandemic, and vaccination rates are the best in ASEAN. So investors have a lot of confidence that Singapore will be able to emerge fairly soon from this pandemic cloud. And again, Singapore is looking at above 6% GDP growth this year. The other spectrum of countries like Malaysia, where we continue to cut GDP numbers, we also cut for Indonesia last week as well. And that's because, there doesn't seem to be an end in sight in terms of the pandemic and the lockdowns that come with it and their impacts on the economy. I would say that foreign selling has been prevalent across ASEAN for quite a while now. In fact, for Malaysia, it's been happening for a decade, you know, net sell. But the difference now is we're also seeing domestic funds in Malaysia, which are generally quite supportive of the market, also being net sellers year to date because of a lack of confidence in where the economy is headed. So that's a really worrying thing.
We're speaking to Anand Pathmakansan, the head of regional equity research at Maybank Kim Eng Malaysia, here on Across the ASEAN. So we know, Anand, tomorrow the Bank Negara Malaysia is also set to make their policy decision. Is there any impetus, perhaps ease policy rates as a form of support, or do you think that they might be a little tentative to touch the policy settings tomorrow? What are your thouthts on this?
Okay, well, House view is that interest rates will remain where they are right now until the end of the year. So we're already at record low interest rates. And there's two reasons why we think Bank Negara will stay, you know, flat on the current interest rates. And one is the fact that, you know, we still have quite a sizable fiscal stimulus or impulse working its way through the economy. When the government has announced 8 stimulus packages over the last 15 months, and a lot of that money has yet to really impact the economy in terms of, you know, actual spend. So there's that to look forward to. And I think Bank Negara will wait to see how that works out before looking at monetary policy as a stimulus. And the second thing is, actually, inflation has picked up quite a bit. And I'm sure it's the same in Singapore as well. The prices are going up. CPI rates have gone up. And we're in a situation now where negative real interest rates are the reality. And that by itself is what we call passive easing. You know, negative real interest rates are quite stimulative for the economy. So there's really no need to cut rates too aggressively at this point in time. So that's our view. We think if there's going to be any rate move, it'll probably come next year.
Mm-hmm. So if there is no real impetus for the Bank Negara Malaysia to provide any monetary support, but given the uncertainty of this recent bout of COVID-19 infections, Anand, do you think that the government itself, despite those 8 stimulus packages you mentioned, do you think that they'll be at least under the gun to perhaps provide even more support? And perhaps the more important question is, will they have the firepower, or do they have enough in the ammunition box to perhaps provide that support?
Well, just to be clear, Bank Negara, you know, interest rate policy is just one tool. They have an entire toolkit. And they've been deploying the rest of the toolkit to help the economy. So, you know, cheap SME financing, buying government bonds in the market to keep rates low. Those are ongoing supports by the central bank. So I guess it wouldn't be fair to say they're just sitting on their hands. They are actually using other levers
Fair
to
enough.
Support the economy. Now, come back to the government. You're absolutely right. You know, we think the budget deficit this year will be closer to 7%, given all the stimulus packages that have been announced. And it's very clear fiscal space is very limited. You know, we've had to come back to the loan moratorium again. I think Malaysia is the only country that has such a generous loan moratorium twice in the last 15 months to support the economies and support borrowers. And the government has also had to tap our reserve fund, which is not very big in the first place, to support our pandemic fighting measures. So really, you're right. You know, we don't have much fiscal leeway anymore. I think there's any follow-on measures, it will have to be off-balance sheet in nature, which is things like, you know, government guarantees, that loan moratorium I mentioned to you. And, of course, what has been done for the third time recently is allowing people to withdraw from their pensions. Specifically the EPF early.
I do want to circle back towards the foreign fund outflows, and it might not just be because of COVID-19 uncertainty. We have noted also that in contrast, with the Federal Reserve has seemed rather more taken a more hawkish tilt in their last policy meeting. Now, of course, this could mean dollar strength, higher rates, and thus could also also provide some more headwinds for emerging markets like Malaysia. Would a stronger dollar and tighter monetary policy stateside hold even more downside for Malaysian markets? Can you tell us how this might be impacting or might be influencing your views on Malaysian markets moving forward?
Yeah, I think on the stronger U.S. dollar and higher U.S. rates, and that's more relevant for the fixed income market rather than the equity market
okay.
in Malaysia. So the fixed income market, in sharp contrast to the equity market, has seen dramatic inflows, net inflows, over the last 12, 13 months. So, interest in Malaysian debt by foreign investors remains very high. And because, you know, MGS, or Malaysian government securities, continue to yield much higher than what developed market debt yields at this point in time. Now, that dynamic obviously would change if interest rates start to move higher in the U.S. and the dollar strengthens, because then it makes Malaysian debt relatively less attractive. So that could, you know, reverse that inflow situation into an outflow, and we could see domestic rates start to rise. Is that a big deal for Malaysian equities? Probably not. You know, there's lots of debt in the Malaysian economy. Government is, you know, record debt levels, consumer record debt levels, but corporates are actually quite lowly geared as a whole in Malaysia. So if financing costs go up a little bit in the Malaysian debt markets, it's not going to derail the equity market in any way.
All right. And Anand, before we let you go, the one theme that's also been rather prominent, and perhaps I hate to use the word exciting given the state that Malaysia is in, given the COVID-19 pandemic, but perhaps one source of excitement when you look at Malaysian markets right now is the race for these digital banking licenses that seems to have heated up in recent days. You have Axiata, I believe, teaming up with RHB. You've got AirAsia throwing their hat in the race. And now even Singtel and Grab from here in Singapore throwing their interest as well. Talk to us about what impact this might have, not just on the financial sector, but also in markets. How much of a game changer is this at the moment? And how are you viewing this heating up, the rising interest, at least, in these digital banking licenses out in Malaysia?
Yeah, it is quite an exciting thing. I mean, Bank Negara recently confirmed there are over 29 bidders
Wow.
for the three or the five initial licenses that will be made available early next year. So plenty of interest. And you've mentioned some of the more prominent names which are bidding for these licenses. So I think if we're talking about it being a sort of a sea change for the domestic financial system, that's probably exaggerating it a little bit. I mean, these licenses are meant to serve the underbanked community in Malaysia. And that's really a very small community at this point. It's less than 10% of the population. They'd probably be better off targeting like small or medium-sized SMEs, which are not adequately serviced, I guess, by the existing banks in the system. But that's a long-term sort of proposition. You know, initially, these banks will be capitalized at 100 million ringgit. So, you know, that's a very small amount of capital. We don't think digital banks will be a competitive force for the mainstream banks for many years to come. So it is an exciting development. It's nice to see all this interest. But whether it disrupts the existing status quo in the financial system, that's not going to happen anytime soon yet.
All right. Anand Pathmakanthan, Head of Regional Equity Research at Maybank Kim Eng Malaysia. Thank you so much for joining us today on Across the ASEAN and to talk about the outlook now for Malaysia's economy and markets. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these very uncertain and rather concerning times. And we look forward to the next time we can have you join us back on the show. In the meantime, do stay safe and we wish you well up in Kuala Lumpur.
Thank you, JP. Appreciate it.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.